BNS at 20 Minutes or Less podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It is Thursday, May 3rd. 2018. I'm Shauna. Beckler is away today. Unfortunately, both his little boys have asthma, and they've both experienced some breathing problems here in the last couple of days. So he took the day to, of course, look after the family, and that's obviously much more important than making fart jokes on the radio. So he wasn't here today. He should be back tomorrow, however. It's weird because we were chatting about this. Calgary is an interesting place. It's higher elevated than a lot of different cities. And I think that people with breathing problems of any sort actually struggle quite a bit in this city because of that. I don't know if it's the air and the mountains and the elevation and a mixture of different things, but it seems to be quite the issue here. In fact, before I moved here, I never, ever had any allergies. And at this time of year, I'll wake up and I'll have like a plugged nose and I'll have no idea why, and I think I've developed some sort of allergy. They think it's the snow mold, which, by the way, if you said that to an American, they would probably die laughing. Like, snow mold. It's a thing. It is a thing, okay? Just get right into it. I was reading how the luxury sedan is actually fading away. It's kind of no more. And when you think about it, when you look around Calgary, for example, you don't really see many luxury sedans or family sedans for that matter. If someone has a family, they're opting for an SUV now or a truck, right? Because they need a truck for something. But like a family sedan is not really the choice for many people here. And I thought it may just be because we live close to the mountains. So having a truck or an SUV makes sense. You know, you want to pack some stuff in the back, go camping, go hiking, whatever you may do. But apparently the general consensus across North America, at least, is in fact that the luxury sedan is fading away. Now, there's one group of people who are particularly angry about this, about not being able to buy the luxury sedan anymore, and that is the elderly. They're still the people who love those cars, right? The big boats on wheels. They're safe. They always have tons of features. And I always thought that these companies screwed up by not trying to appeal to people who are a little bit older. A lot of them, in fact, tried to shift to appeal to a younger generation. I'm like, man, you are missing a huge market here. A market of people with lots of money who are older and they want all the features. They want to pay for an expensive car. And then I tried to envision what an ad for something like that would sound like.
The Cadillac DeVille. It has seats designed for easy maneuverability. The volume goes to 11. And the font in the owner's manual is actually legible. The Cadbury Seville.
Edith, it's the Cadillac DeVille.
The cast iron Chevelle.
No, the...
The Cadillac nail file.
Okay, yeah, it's good.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was reading that in Singapore, they're trying something new. It's facial recognition technology at the airport. So if you're late for your flight, basically, or you're missing and they can't find you, they will use this facial recognition software to find exactly where you are. So they can be like, hey, get your ass to the plane before the plane leaves without you. Now, I like this, kind of. Because there's definitely been times where I've been at the airport and, you know, I've been at the bar and maybe I haven't heard them calling my name or time carries away or escapes you. But aside from that, if you're not at the gate, you're most likely just not making the flight. Like, you're not even in the airport, period. The only other time I could see you being in the airport and being late for a flight is if you're having some sort of bathroom emergency. And that would be very awkward, you know, if they could then announce and get a hold of you through the PA while you're in the bathroom. You know, they saw you going in there and all of a sudden you're trying to do your thing and you're having a small crisis and then this happens.
Hey, John, we see you in there. You've been in there for an hour and your flight's... What are you doing in there?
Trust me, it's better to go on. Just go on without me. I'll be fine.
X92.9.
I got my first cat call of the season yesterday and I was actually pretty happy about it. And I'll explain why in a minute, but basically I was walking across the street and this guy, he yells at the window, "What's up, girl?" And then I you know, responded, of course, as you're supposed to, and was like, "Not just crossing the street, man, you." And this is why I'm kind of happy about this, because it was warm enough for him to have his window down. Like, I know that catcalling isn't always great. A lot of people don't like getting catcalled, but the winter was so damn long that when this happened, he was able to have his window down. I was just like, you know what? I'm okay with this. It shows that spring is finally here, because catcalling doesn't happen in the winter. Way too cold to roll down your window and scream things at people. The funniest part of all of this, though, was that I was wearing capris and a sweater. So you can tell that it's been a really long winter, because the only thing that was exposed was my ankles. In other words, this guy was just excited to see my ankles. A little bit crazy. Although kind of a funny way to catcall people. Like, I should start doing that, because the fashion in guy suits right now are to have your ankles exposed, right? The short pants with a bit of ankle showing. Just wander down Stephen Ave where they're all in suits and, oh, damn, look at those ankles. You know, just see how they react.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
Beckler and I have laughed about this before. Catcalling for men, like, to try that out and see if it would work or not. I don't think it would have quite the same effect, but I should start doing it. Like, catcalling really doesn't happen that often to girls anymore, to be honest. A lot of people don't do that because they realize that people take offense to it, you know? You're degrading them a little bit by going, ooh, look at that ass! But I was thinking I should try to catcall men, you know? And I was trying to think of how you could do it in a way that would be similar to the way men do to women. And I was thinking something like, look at that steak ass! Ooh! You know, something like commenting on the steak ass of a man. Like, damn, son, your pecs look good in that shirt. It really doesn't work quite as well, hey? Like, it's not quite the same. Although steak ass is definitely one of my favorite terms for guys with bigger butts, you know, muscular bums. You got a steak ass in that case. Feel free to put that in your pocket and use it for later.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
Beckler and I like to, we like to sniff out types of marketing that are a little bit shady. Outrage marketing is what we call it, or outrageous marketing even. It's ways that companies use social media to get free publicity, essentially. And I think I've found the latest in why this is happening. And it can be found in the headline from yesterday. A love-struck Michigan man has convinced Air Canada to give him free tickets to visit his Newfoundland girlfriend. That's this big headline, making national news right now. And the story, I mean, the story is lovely. This man named CJ met a lady named Becca online, and after 6 months of texts and FaceTiming, they wanted to meet in person, yet neither could afford a flight. So CJ, the dude, asked Air Canada to help via tweet, and they responded saying as long as he got the same number of retweets as the population of Newfoundland, they would grant his wish. Now I look at this and I go, smells like a bit of bull, honky, because who knows if this guy's real? If you were a company like this, why wouldn't you make that up? Make up this cutesy story so that you get all these retweets. It's like those, you know, Taco Bell will give you free Taco Bell for a year if you retweet this. And everybody thinks this is funny. And so they retweet it and it goes viral and it goes makes national headlines. And I was like, these could all be plants. That could be the company starting that. Fake account. This guy says, how many retweets for me to get Taco Bell for a year? The company knows that people will jump on board because they think this story is cute or funny or whatever. And they didn't pay a cent for advertising. Not a cent. And look at how big these stories become. It's genius, really. We just like it when you are aware, you know? Stay woke, kids. Stay woke.
The BNS and 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I was parked at the gym yesterday. And I walked out to my car, sat down, and then I was, you know, looking up directions for something. And then I was getting my music ready to go. And all of a sudden, I hear this honk from behind me. What are they honking at? So I look back and this woman is in her car and she's motioning for me to move, like move out of the spot. She's doing the little, you know, the hand flippy thingy. I was like, that's the first time anybody's ever done that. I mean, I've definitely witnessed people waiting for me to move out of a parking spot. And I always feel bad if I didn't see them, because if I did, I'd be courteous and I'd move along a little quicker, get out of that spot for them. But when you honk at me, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll make some phone calls. Take a quick nap, maybe set up a tent on the hood of my car. Like, I'm not going anywhere now. What's even more entertaining is, again, this was at the gym. You're going to go run 10K on a treadmill, but walking that extra 10 steps from a parking spot slightly further away, that's preposterous. Granted, I'm guilty of that too. I'll drive around for 20 minutes in the gym parking lot trying to get the best spot I possibly can, but I do not honk. Okay, I don't honk and then do a little flippy hand thing and say, move ya!
X92.9
Audio.
of Monsters and Men are, of course, from Iceland, and the naming ritual there is quite interesting. The last name is blank son. So let's say your dad's name is George. Your last name will be George Son. It goes along with the names of every single person in this band. Brynjar Leifsson, Ragnar Poralsson, Rosencrantz Hilmarsson, Christian Christianson, and Nanna Hilmar's daughter, because she's the daughter of Hilmar. Crazy.
An empty house. So hold my hand, I'll walk with you, my dear.
According to lead singer Hannah, this song is about a couple and the husband passed away, and it's from the conversation between the two of them. We don't know if she's going crazy or if somebody's actually there, but it's kind of inspired by people that lived in Hannah's house. It was this old couple that lived there for 30 years, and the woman passed away, then it was kind of different.
So the truth may carry this.
In Iceland, you learn English in school, but that's not the native language. Yet, Nanna consciously decided to name the band of Monsters and Men, which is clearly an English name. She says she did this because her favorite bands wrote in English, and she'd hear a lyric, and she'd be like, oh, that's beautiful. And it was an English lyric.
Voice in my head that's holding me back. Well, tell her that I miss our little talks.
In September of 2011, this song hit the top of the charts in Iceland, but it wasn't until April 2012 that it first charted in the U.S., and from that point on, this band was a hit all over the world. I have a friend who lives in Nashville now, and they're originally from Canada. So they were talking about just how weird it is down there when it comes to, you know, the guns and the gun law type things. I find this fascinating because, of course, it's very different here. But they were talking about how in Texas, I drove through Texas this one time, and there was this promotion that they were offering up where for one day only, you could get a free hunting rifle for test driving the new Ford F-150. So you take the truck for a whirl, then you get a rifle to take home. I think I got offered a hot dog once at a car dealership. That's about it, though. And then they were saying they went golfing this one time, and I forget which state they said they were in, but there was a snake on the golf course. And one of their clients who they were golfing with saw the snake and just took out his gun and started shooting at it on the green. This isn't funny. But he whips out a gun and just goes to town on the snake, like, on the green. You know, I get in trouble for catching my club on the green and just frigging up the grass a little bit. Meanwhile, Dex's Dom over there is just watering it with bullets, just spraying them all around.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
As I drove in this morning, I noticed that gas is up to $1.35 now. And I was actually reading that gas prices may climb to $1.40, and they think it may stay that way all summer long. Does anybody know why? Like, I tried to look into this, and I guess our gas prices are driven by the U.S., who is on a tear when it comes to oil consumption right now. But shockingly, I was also reading that the higher gas prices haven't affected our gas consumption yet. They say eventually it's going to, but there's some politics involved this time as well. Of course, the Trans Mountain Pipeline tensions continue to rise. So as Vancouver's gas prices hit $1.61, there are suspicions that this may be partly political too. But gas prices around this time 2 years ago in Vancouver were 50 cents cheaper. 50 cents. That's insane. Of course, another reason for gas prices going up is the rising oil prices. And to be honest, that's kind of a good thing. Like, if I have to pay a little bit more at the pump because oil prices are rebounding, therefore our economy is rebounding, I'm okay with that.
X92.9.
Beckler and I were chatting the other day about how we think that the next big addiction that we're going to find out about is sexting. Addiction. Because I was reading that there's a growing concern from parents about sexting. In fact, parents are more concerned about kids sending nude photos than they are of their kids drinking or smoking. And then not even a week later, after we talked about this, I just discovered a rehab center for social media addiction. It's not the same thing as sexting, I get that, but social media rehab is a thing. I guess kids are becoming angry and a bit obsessive when it comes to seeking out likes on social media, and it's getting to the point where it's affecting their day-to-day lives, and as much as that sounds crazy and I want to laugh at that, I can totally see it. Like, even when I post something, I tend to get a little bit enthralled with, you know, who's liking it and how many likes it's getting. I don't get angry if something doesn't do well. I'm not to that point. But I can see how people would actually be, like, emotionally affected if something doesn't get enough love online. So, enter social media rehab. It's in California, and the treatment for this involves things like getting your kids to play outside and getting away from your phones. And it can cost up to $50,000 to go to social media rehab. Or, another suggestion for you, you could give me $50,000 and I will flush your kid's phone down the toilet and then take them to a park.
There is a dopamine release in your brain when someone likes your shit on Facebook. So, like, if you smoke a cigarette or someone pays you a compliment in real life or your favorite show comes on the tube, you get dopamine release. This is why people get addicted to things.
Right.
On Facebook, just the same. If someone comments on something and you like that person, you get a bit of a dopamine release. If someone likes something of yours and it's someone you care about, then it's even more so. But even just the sheer number of likes can give you a dopamine release.
Yeah.
It's proven chemically that it's that you're straight up like getting high on Facebook.
Which is so crazy, hey?
Yeah, like dopamine. Like it's physically addictive to go on Facebook and do these things that are so, you know, rewarding. Like when you eat a banana and you really like bananas, you get dopamine release. That way you eat a banana again. It's your body's way of making sure you do that same thing again.
Huh. Yeah, and like I've read about that and it makes perfect sense. I wonder if that's the same, like, because sexting is another one. But sexting, I'm wondering if you get that dopamine release just from sending somebody a naked photo and they just say nice things to you, right? Like,
oh, well, yeah, that's probably both dopamine and adrenaline.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a risk involved.
You're right.
So
yeah.
People get their jollies on that, like, ooh, this could go wrong. Like, that's like, you know, it's like having sex in the next room while your roommate doesn't know or whatever. That's kind of risque and
yeah.
In the same vein, like it's a little bit of adrenaline and that can be, you know, that can turn people on too. So
it's kinky.
Sexting, yeah. It's interesting how the human brain is not really able to cope with all these modern things we keep throwing at it, but it seems to do so. But we see the downfall, like these kids getting addicted to whatever.
It's so crazy because, you know, yeah, like our generation, we are addicted to physical things like cigarettes, alcohol,
yep. Oh yeah,
drugs. And or not our generation, I guess, but you know what I mean? Like the older generation, we kind of faded away from that. I feel like the shift is now, right? But
yeah. Kids aren't smoking. They're on their damn phone.
Yeah. The generation now isn't addicted to things like smoking that are actually bad for your health. It's bad for your mental health now. That's the issue.
Yeah. They're getting messed up in different ways. They're going to get cancer of the brain.
Which is crazy. It's so crazy to think about. I never thought about it in that way, but you just led me there. So thank you for that.
Yeah, no worries. Do some Googling. There's some really interesting research on this up.
Yeah, and I've read about the whole dopamine release before, but when you talk about how kids used to be addicted to like the physical things, the alcohols and the cigarettes, and now it's the mental things. It's very weird to think about it that way.
You've been listening to the B&S in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have B&S in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.